May 4th, 2024 is the 40th anniversary of the theatrical release of Breakin', the cult classic breakdance film. Here's an encore presentation of our original episode from 2022. Welcome to Hip Hop Movie Club, where three old heads put their old heads together to vibe on some of the most memorable or forgettable hip-hop themed movies of all time. And here's HHMC with your HHMCs, Boogie, JB, and Dino Wright. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 3, Breakin'. Breakin', also known as Breakdancing the Movie, was directed by Joel Silberg, from a story by Charles Parker and Alan Debevoise. The two of them also wrote the screenplay with Gerald Scaife. The film stars Adolfo Shabadoo Quinones as Ozone, Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers as Turbo, and Lucinda Dickey as Kelly. Christopher McDonald and Ice-T also featured in this movie.
Breakin' is a 1984 movie in which a young aspiring jazz dancer Kelly aims to elevate her skills to a new level, perhaps into a main profession, as well as escape her lustful dance instructor, Franco. She finds escape and is enlightened into the world of street dancing, aka breakdancing, upon meeting Ozone and Turbo, who are young stars in this innovative style. As their friendship blossoms, so does her skill set. She is all in on promoting the art of breakdancing and exorcising her past and any haters along the way. So, what did we like about this film? You want to kick us off, Boogie?
Sure. Breakin' is one of those movies that I grew up watching, so I always enjoyed watching it. It's one of those coming-of-age movies where you have people that are trying to make a way when they feel like they don't have a way, and then happenstance, they come across someone who offers them hope and a chance to kind of take what they're doing and make the situation better. So with that, I mean, the scenes in the dance battles and the dancing in the movie is always something I always enjoyed watching. I always tried to emulate that dancing when I was a kid. I used to have my box out in the front of the house and my music playing. You know, the dancing always was something that captivated me. You know, Turbo and Ozone, the two characters played by Shabadoo, the late great Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp, they had a chemistry, like a Laurel and Hardy type chemistry, where they fed off of each other's energy. So the scenes with the two of them, they had a lot of comedic presence about the two of them, even when they were not necessarily trying to be comedic. I think it was more so the tone of the movie that kept it lighthearted. So even in some of those serious scenes, they were very comedic. So it's always good to see those two on screen together. The dance and the lightheartedness of the movie was something that I always enjoyed. It focuses on breakdancing, but it's not necessarily a lot of rap music in it, although you do see some cameos of rap in the movie. But the tone of the movie was always something that I enjoyed.
Nice. Dino Wright, want to add anything?
So I like that since we've had two New York movies, we're now on the West Coast, going to Cali, see what that culture's like in terms of early hip hop. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was nice to see the West Coast, right? I enjoyed the film. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And for some reason, Breakin' 2 stood out to me more in my memory, maybe because of the catchy title, Electric Boogaloo. But I'm glad I rewatched it. I would think for all intents and purposes, Breakin' really for real put breakdancing into the mainstream of American conscious.
Right.
But I think the other films that we reviewed so far, like Beat Street and Wild Style, more like still underground, still a little bit more raw. Now you see children breakdancing. You see them having a good time with it, converting jazz dancers into breakdancers. And I remember as a kid wanting to also emulate Ozone and Turbo. You know, people were emulating their moves and all that. If I saw this correctly, the movie had a small budget of like $1.2 million and it garnered almost $39 million at the box office. Back then, that's huge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A major distributor, Golden Globus, you know, that was a major distributor for films at that time. So it definitely pushed it to the forefront, like you said.
Yeah, and it kicks off right away. You see the fashion moonwalks right in the opening scenes. And there was a little dude there, not Turbo, but a real little dude who was like five or 6 years old. What's his name?
Hot Tot.
Hot Tot. That's right.
Hot Tot.
Yeah, he appears in both Breaking and Breaking 2. Man,
yeah, both of them.
He's so impressive, right? The term popping and locking is used. That's the first time I had heard that. And there are some like epic scenes. See the Turbo's broom dance scene where he's dancing alongside the broom outside the convenience store where he knows own work. And it's almost like a magic trick. He's like controlling the broom and dancing around it. And that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a classic scene right there. Anybody that knows Breaking remembers that scene, and they always point that scene out. When they were in the store, and Ozone Goldsman says, refer to him as Fred Astaire, and he's like, who? And then he goes outside of the store, and he has a Fred Astaire moment.
I mean, not to get ahead on Breaking 2, but I think, when Breaking 2 is the one where he dances on the side of the walls and on the ceilings and stuff like that. And that they emulated some Fred Astaire with that also. So they tried to bring some classic there. The culture really was shown. The Ozone dubs Kelly Special K. That's a giving people monikers and nicknames. And I like that there was a storyline that you could understand.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned in the synopsis, Kelly's dance instructor was a creep, very lustful, right? Tried to advance on her with a kiss, and she wants none of it. And, she runs away. And, that's a theme throughout. Even the agent that she, talent agent, is a shady character where it's almost like he wants to be a love interest for her, and she just wants to advance her career. So you see a lot of that. And that agent, James Wilcox, I think it was played by McDonald. What's his name? Chris McDonald? Chris McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin, is the part I remember him most for in the Happy Gilmore film. I saw him with the like curlier hair, and I'm like, that's Shooter McGavin. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I remember him from Grease 2. Plays Grease.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's had an extensive career. Yeah.
In some TV shows and whatnot, right? Yeah, there were some funny scenes. There was one scene also. They were having lunch, and there was these redneck guys making comments, right? Throwing a quarter at them, and Turbo. I love Turbo's moxie, standing up to people, and you'll see that throughout the series, right? And he just stands up, dumps water on the guy. The barroom brawl ensues, and they end up escaping, and they're beating each other up. So that was kind of silly. I like that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of campy fun in this movie, which I enjoyed.
Right.
Yeah, just the whole leotard thing from the 80s is nostalgic and fun. You don't really see that anymore, unless you're like on purpose trying to be retro or vintage. But it's kind of funny to see the leotards and leg warmers contrasting with like all the leather, studded leather belts and bracelets and things. I forgot that whole part of the whole early hip hop scene.
Yeah, and the big dangling earrings
earrings. I was drawing connections to like the punk scene with like the studded leather belts and stuff. And
absolutely,
there's some kindred spirit happening between early hip hop and by that time, punk had a moment.
Yeah, I mean, these are all outsiders. You're against the norm, right? Nobody has seen this style of dance. Street, they're both kind of like street cultures, right?
Yeah.
Subcultures. And, ahead of their time, for sure. I also thought you saw the battle between Ozone and Turbo and this electro rock crew, right? So this electro rock crew, that's their... the rivals, so you see them bump heads a few times. It was interesting.
Yeah, I always liked the presence of the electro rock guys, man. And one of my favorite pop lockers is actually one of the electro rock, Bruno Falcon. He's a very well known West Coast pop locker, and even if you can Google his name, I remember maybe a year or so ago, there's videos circulating on Facebook with him pop locking. He's got like long gray hair.
Yeah.
Still going at it,
Still doing it.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
There were some classic songs as well. Like you mentioned, Boogie, there was not real like true hip hop in this. A lot of beats, but there was the classic There's No Stopping Us early on, Molly and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Classic right in the opening. And that kind of sets the tone. I like that. There was another Chaka Khan song later on, and I'm not recalling it right now.
Oh, Ain't Nobody.
Yes. Ain't Nobody. There we go. Ain't Nobody.
Classic. Great.
Exactly.
Great.
Right. Yeah, that was when there was some little romantic interludes kind of between Kelly and Ozone, right? That's, you see that song come on, right?
Yeah. Classic song right there, though. I love that song.
Yeah.
I don't know why the name slipped my mind for a second, too.
Yeah, it was funny. And I always liked the contrast between Turbo and Ozone, the kind of like the street dancing culture. And then, you know, they come to a high class party at the end and they show up. There was a funny line with Turbo, who's just, he's the more comedic one, as you said. And there's a type of cheese that he never saw.
Oh, yeah.
He said something like, would you like this pig cheese or something like that?
Yeah.
Pig cheese.
Pig cheese, yeah.
Two older women. You want some pig cheese?
Yeah.
Another woman. I'll take cheese.
Yeah. He's charming the older ladies, right? But
absolutely. They loved him.
Yeah, exactly, right?
They did.
Yeah. There was another, so that whole juxtaposition with the ultra conservative folks, and then there's a big contest at the end and they're getting denied. You know, this is a common theme. Kelly kept getting denied in her own auditions. At one point, she put on a wig to try to look blonde. That's not what they wanted, right? She kept failing. And then even this bigger contest where the creepy Franco instructor was at, right? James, the agent, had a hard time getting, you know, called all his contests, couldn't get them in. Finally, you know, he has them show up in top hats and suits, looking all formal, and got them under a fake name.
Put them a Trojan horse.
Yeah, exactly. Trojan horse scene, right? He called them like Allegro Vivace, I guess there's some fancy Italian act, right? And he gets them in, but they start breakdancing and stuff like that and turning heads, and they're kind of told, you know, we don't like your style, whatever, these old decrepit judges and whatnot. But and they start ripping the sleeves and just, you know, continue to dance. Don't give up. And yeah, I like that scene at the end there.
Yeah, it's a good scene. Nice redemption.
Yeah, they went over.
Finally broke through and got their well-deserved shine, and they got noticed.
Right.
Nobody wanted to give them a chance. And they hadn't even seen what they could do. They just went off of pure appearance. Oh, I don't like what they look like. Oh, no, you're not professional. But when they sat down and let them do what they could do, they all enjoyed it.
Exactly. It's funny. The old crusty judge kept saying, go away, like three or four times. Finally, the younger judge was like, hold on a second. And then they finally all came around. They were like even dancing on the tables. And
Franco was trying to get them to get the judges to dismiss them. And they were like, go away. You're trying to watch this.
Franco storms out like the baby that he is. Yeah. And then there's a big music video type feel at the end. They There's No Stopping Us was headlining at the street jazz show. You know, towards the end, they teased the sequel. I remember in the closing credits. So we knew that there was going to be a sequel.
Oh, yeah. They let it know right away.
Yep.
This story's through, so wait for part two.
Exactly.
Supported by Ice-T.
Yeah.
A very young and spry Ice-T.
I mean, he's spry now, but it was really... like, wow, like he's back from back then. He's from back in the day.
Yeah.
Now he's on my cereal box in the back of my Cheerios. You see that? You got the dance in the morning with Coach Ice-T. I'll put that in the stories. But I was like, whoa, that's Ice-T. Like, does Body Count get like Team Cheerios? What cereal Cheerios box are they on? Anyway, Ice-T.
Yeah,
Ice-T is rapping and emceeing the event at the Radiotron Club. And he's one of his early performances.
Absolutely. Salute to the OG Ice-T.
Oh, the one other funny thing, too, is the agent, James, I'll call him Shooter McGavin, right? you know, he's trying to fit in, right? And he's like trying, he didn't know how to do a handshake with Turbo. And he wants to be cool. He ends up buying them matching jackets with the initials TKO, if you caught that up.
TKO crew,
right, for each of their initials, you know, Turbo, Kelly, and Ozone. And that's what they go by, you know, TKO crew, kind of neat.
Yeah, I actually like that name, too. This fit, too. It's perfect.
Yeah, it was.
It is a great name.
Yeah, it's a perfect name for them.
Yeah. There was a scene too. I was really impressed by the dancing.
Yeah. Dancing was great.
Introduced dancing to the mainstream, break dancing. There was a kid dancing with crutches at the end, if you caught that.
Oh yeah, the kid with the crutches was great.
That was impressive.
A lot of upper body strength.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So overall, I mean,
had some cameos in there too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our friend that was in there.
Go ahead, Boogie.
Now you got it.
So one of the early scenes when Kelly's introduced to Turbo and Ozone at the beach, you see a bunch of these muscle guys in the background. And if you look to the left, you see Jean-Claude Van Damme in that beach scene.
In a unitard.
Exactly. Yeah, we could post that on our social media, but it's neat. And it pans on him for a little bit. You could definitely tell it's him.
Oh, yeah. He's doing that bop that he did. And what's that movie that he was doing? He was it? I can't think of the movie right now. It's a famous movie that he did the dance scene and he was
drunk.
He's doing that same dance. He's rocking.
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah, I just remember Kickboxer was a great one.
Yeah. It might have been Kickboxer.
Was it? Yeah, maybe.
Kickboxer or Blood?
Yeah, it was Kickboxer. Blood. Yeah.
Kickboxer.
I'll put that in show notes. He's got one move. I mean, it works.
Yeah, it works.
You talk about the key stars. As you mentioned, Shabadoo, Adolfo Quinones unfortunately passed away at the end of 2020 at age 65, but legendary breakdancer. And you could find him in all types of shows and cameos. And he was in a lot of music videos, like Lionel Richie's All Night Long. Both him and Turbo were in that. And Chaka Khan's I Feel For You in those videos.
Yeah. He is a well-established choreographer. And right. Dancer, yeah.
He did a lot of work for Madonna, choreography. Yeah. And I dug in a little bit more, and I found out that Shabadoo was a member of the dance crew, the original Lockers, along with Fred Berry, a.k.a. Rerun from What's Happening, one of my favorite shows of all time.
Me too.
Yes. Tony Basil, singer from Hey Mickey, and Don Campbell, known as Campbell Lock, who is credited of starting the Pop and Lock. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. And speaking of some coolness, I came across a documentary on Boogaloo Shrimp a few years ago. Come to find out, he was the person who's credited with teaching Michael Jackson the moonwalk. And I just before, you know, we got on, I checked, and that documentary is still on. It's on Amazon Prime right now, and it's also on Pluto TV. It's called the Boogaloo Shrimp documentary. So if you get a chance, anyone, you know, check that out. It's got a lot of history, and it talks about how he got started out and how he started and what he's been up to. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yes, neat. Boogaloo Shrimp, also known as Michael Chambers, right? Yeah, very well established in those videos I mentioned also. And I was also reading he played the character of the MC Scat Cat in Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract.
Oh, man. That's him?
He wasn't the rapper, but they used his moves.
Yep.
MC Scat Cat. Shout out to MC Scat Cat.
MC Scat Cat.
Underrated MC.
Some wham, wham.
Oh, man. That's a throwback.
Whew. Yeah, and I looked up Lucinda Dickey, and she was on Solid Gold. She was a solid gold dancer.
Solid gold.
Yeah. And I don't know why I've never known that, but she was a solid gold dancer prior to snagging a role in Breaking. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But now I want to go back and see if I can catch her in some of the older episodes.
Yeah, they must be on YouTube. We got to go look.
Yeah.
Solid that's gold. That's right. Kids today don't know what solid gold is. We got to look up solid gold.
Yeah, I love solid gold, man. I used to watch that every Saturday.
Every Saturday, exactly.
Watch Soul Train in the late morning, early afternoon.
After the cartoons are done, Soul Train comes on, right? Yeah, and Solid Gold.
Don Cornelius, right?
Yeah. You know, I was watching one of my favorite actresses. She's got a cameo. She's actually in both Breaking and Breaking 2, but she's a cameo in the opening credits, Lila Rochon. I was watching it, and I'm like, wait a minute. How come I've never noticed her dancing in the beginning of the movie? But she's dancing in the beginning of the movie, and I'm like, check that out.
You still keep in touch with her?
Oh, no, I don't know her, but I just like her as an actress. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, awesome. I was also saw something about Shabadoo choreographed the 3-6 Mafia's performance on the Academy Awards.
Is that right?
That one for the original song, It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He choreographed that dance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
That's one of the classic Oscar moments.
Yeah, really that was. Is. That was groundbreaking. Very well established. I mean, these guys did so much for the culture of breakdance. Yeah. And that's what we're here about on the podcast is like you see people doing all these types of dancing, and this is kind of the origins. So it's neat for the young folks out there to kind of see where it started.
Yeah. I mean, breaking's now is international. You know, you got the Red Bull Championships, and I love watching. I watch those every time I can catch clips of them anywhere. And, you know, things that they're able to do now, it's amazing. But it all ties back to, you know, what we're talking about in the last couple podcasts. So, you know, it definitely blossomed and grown. And like I said, it's international. It's a way of life. It's a culture. It's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah. So, Boogie, you owned the vinyl? Is that what you were talking about last time or showing us recently?
Yeah, oh, there it is.
Got the vinyl with the plastic on it still.
Oh, yeah. I still
have got a sticker from the Wiz.
From the Wiz.
How much was that?
$6.99.
Woo!
What a deal.
Yeah, I love this name. Yeah, this is, yeah.
There's really a lot of Ollie and Jerry on there, right?
Oh, yeah. It's on. Yeah, let me see what's on here. Yeah, There's No Stopping Us. Freak Show on the Dance Floor, Body Work, 99.5. 99.5 is a good song, too.
A good song. Yeah.
The Showdown, Heart of the Beat, Street People, which was they performed at the end.
Right.
Cut It, Ain't Nobody, and Reckless. What I only thing I wish it would have had, but it probably was a lot of improvised. I wish it would have had some Ice-T and stuff in it, but
yeah,
that stuff was probably improvised on the spot. It probably wasn't even studio recorded.
Probably.
He was probably just freestyling.
Yeah. I may have had the vinyl. I can't recall now, but I don't have it any longer.
Ice-T, yeah, if you're out there listening, let us know if you did that on the spot on the day. At Final Level, hit us up.
For real. I'm curious now.
I wonder if you could find those lyrics anywhere else other than in the film. Ice-T, MC. Right.
Let's figure it out. Our listeners, if you know this already, hit us up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm almost curious to tack him and ask him how'd he come up with it. Because he definitely responds to the fans.
Ice-T, hit us up.
Do you think this movie could be made today, either in this state, like remade and preserved like this, or a remake of it somehow? What do you think, guys?
I think so. Same thing I said earlier with Beat Street. They make it as like a period piece. I think it'd be really cool to see apply some modern filmmaking techniques and 4K and all this. But I think as a remake of the time, I think it could be done.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Dino Wright on that one. I think, and I was waiting for him to say it, and you said exactly what I thought you were going to say, you know, just kind of use it as a period piece with using some modern techniques. I totally agree. I think that's what would make it possible to have it redone. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Preserve it as it is. Don't try to do anything more with it. And I really enjoyed it. So, you know, as we do at the end of each episode, let's give our rating or our take on it. So the question is, bring that funky flick back. Bring that funky flick back. Or leave it in the vault. Boogie?
Oh, man, I got to bring that funky flick back. This is just a classic. Even with some of the cheesy 80s references and things like that, you can't not bring it back. Got to bring it back.
I know, right?
Bring that funky flick back. It's not Hamlet or King Lear, but it's really fun. It's just so much fun.
I agree. Bring that funky flick back. I really enjoyed it.
Do we take us out?
Yeah, yeah, take it out. That's a wrap right there.
Hip Hop Movie Club is produced by your HHMCs, Boogie, JB, and Dino Wright. The theme music is by Boogie. Special thanks to Susan Berger, Tawanda Edwards, and Allison Yarris. Hit us up at hiphopmovieclub@gmail.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at hiphopmovieclub. You can also check us out at hiphopmovieclub.com. The next episode of Hip Hop Movie Club podcast drops in 2 weeks. Subscribe today in your favorite podcast app and you won't miss it. And if you want to help us out, share this podcast with a friend. Shout out to you listeners. Thanks for listening. Don't hate, elevate.